Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
A major home builder in the crosshairs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Shares of one of the nation's largest home builders plummeted by more than 17% in after-hours trading last night. The FBI said it's investigating possible fraud in the Atlanta-based Beazer Homes USA mortgage lending practices. The Charlotte Observer has reported that 13% of mortgages set up by Beazer in and around Charlotte are in foreclosure. The price of oil is up for a seventh day. Traders are speculating that Iran's detention of British servicemen could escalate and disrupt Mideast supplies. Prices spiked $5 in 7 minutes just before 5 p.m. in New York last night to more than $68 a barrel on a series of rumors, one that Britain had dispatched troops to attempt a rescue of 15 sailors and Marines. In overnight trading in Singapore, crude has fallen back to just above $64 a barrel. And on Wall Street Tuesday, the Dow closed down 71 to 12,397, the NASDAQ closed down 18, and the S&P closed down 9 to 1428. The Council of Science and Technology in Britain is calling for a closer look at a growing and lucrative science, nanotechnology. The fear is the potential health and environmental hazards haven't been studied closely enough. I talked to our European Bureau Chief Stephen Beard about the nanotechnology warning this morning.
This is the science of the very small, manipulating tiny, tiny particles of material, tens of thousands of times smaller than the width of a human hair. The hope is that this could lead one day, for example, to things like tiny computerized capsules that can be injected into the bloodstream, penetrate individual cells, spot a problem, and fix it. So we're talking about a pretty extraordinary science here.
Why is it that the Brits are all of a sudden sounding dubious, though, about nanotech after they've invested a lot of money in it?
Well, this British government scientific advisory body, the CST, says the problem is we don't really know what the risks are. Not enough money has been spent on researching the physical and environmental potential hazards of this technology.
Right. The R&D is getting the bulk of it from the private companies, for sure.
That's right.
This has the potential to be a huge business, which is why so much money is being poured into the development of it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
It seems, actually, it is already pretty big business. It's just that we haven't noticed, for obvious reasons. According to one study, there are 360 consumer goods in use which involve nano know-how, and these range from laptops to a kind of tea. Within 10 years, according to one estimate, this industry could be worth $2.5 trillion, so a very big business.
For a very small technology. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Lisa.
That's Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Meanwhile, as the new Congress struggles to come up with a new budget, Marketplace commentator Robert Reich tells us it's a matter of survival of the human species.
According to a new report from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, some 100,000 asteroids and comets routinely pass between the Sun and the Earth's orbit. About 20,000 of these orbit close enough to us that they could one day hit the Earth and destroy a major city. But the worrying news is NASA believes over 1,000 of these things are large enough, about a mile wide in diameter, and their orbits close enough to us as to pose a real potential hazard of crashing into the Earth with such force as to end most life on this planet. Scientists believe this is what killed off the dinosaurs about 65 million years ago. Congress has given NASA a budget of a little over $4 million a year to track these killer asteroids, but NASA says it needs at least $1 billion more to find all of them by the year 2020. This might involve building a special observatory for tracking them and launching a spacecraft to observe the space around Earth from Venus. The job could be finished sooner than 2020, says NASA, but that would probably require a deep space orbiting infrared observatory at an additional cost of $700 million. All of which raises at least three pertinent questions. First, If we're spending over $1 billion a day in Iraq, why can't we bring the troops home a few days earlier and use the savings to track killer asteroids that might end life on Earth? And since we're talking about the survival of most living things and not just Americans, why shouldn't we expect other nations to kick in some money, too, especially now that the dollar is dropping relative to the euro and the yen? And third, once NASA knows for sure that a killer asteroid is heading directly for us, how exactly are we supposed to get ourselves out of its way, or it out of our way? And how much should we be budgeting to accomplish this?
Former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California at Berkeley.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Okay, now that we've ruined your morning with the threat of asteroids, let's talk about a more immediate threat, greenhouse gas emissions and a carbon tracker to measure them. Here's Sam Eaton from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
Scientists at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration call the carbon tracker the ultimate accounting tool for monitoring whether governments and industries are actually cutting back their greenhouse gas emissions. The carbon tracker uses a series of sampling stations to pinpoint CO2 emissions on a city-by-city basis. NOAA's Richard Spinrad says the data will show whether local climate controls are actually paying off.
The environmental observations are irrefutable. When you come right down to it, that's what's going to provide the evidence, the foundation, the decision basis for determining what's working and what's not.
The economic stakes couldn't be higher. Reductions in CO2 emissions have become a tradable commodity to the tune of tens of billions of dollars. NOAA hopes to expand its carbon tracker globally. It's also developing a method to tell the difference between naturally occurring CO2 and that produced by burning fossil fuels. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
American Public Media.